Topic this morning is the wonder of Jesus. The wonder of Jesus. And we're going to look at seven reasons why only Jesus is the Saviour of the world. Seven reasons why only Jesus is the Saviour of the world. Anne's going to bring us our Bible reading now. And as Anne's coming up, I'll tell you they're going to be from John chapter 4, verses 38 to 42, and 1 John 4, verses 13 to 16. And look out for the phrase, Saviour of the world.
I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labour. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe you because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives our fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love."
There are two occasions in the scriptures where Jesus is referred to specifically as the Saviour of the world. Both times they were written by his disciple John, and once in John's Gospel, at the end of the story, I'm sure you recognised it, of the woman at the well. And when Jesus told her everything she had ever done, she ran back to the village and said, "Surely this is the Saviour." But then after Jesus had stayed with them, they realised for themselves that Jesus was the Saviour of the world. And then later in his letter, John again says of Jesus, he is the Saviour of the world. So that's why we're looking this morning at seven reasons why only Jesus is the Saviour of the world. So let's come to our first 2 points. We've got seven reasons why Jesus is only Jesus is the Saviour of the world. So number one, here we go. No one was ever born like Jesus. His birth is celebrated all around the world every year. Calendars are defined by his birth. I don't know if this is true of you, but I know more about the birth of Jesus than I know about my own birth. Is it true? True for you? I know more about the birth of Jesus than I know about my own birth. I've told you this before. My mum and dad had three daughters. And then they got their son, David. And that was it. Family complete. Until 7 years later, guess who came along? Me. An unplanned mistake. I know. It's sad, isn't it? An unplanned mistake. You're probably sitting there thinking that explains a lot. But I was an unplanned mistake. but not in God's eyes. There are no mistakes in God's eyes, and nor are you. You might be sitting there thinking, well, why am I made like this? But let me tell you now, you are not a mistake. Each one of us is wonderfully and awesomely made on purpose, for a purpose, and we are loved by the God who made us. So have a look around the church. Yeah, a lot in the back row, and have a look around the church. Yeah. And up there, John's up there, and Tim. There are no mistakes in this church this morning. Every one of you is made on a purpose, for a purpose, and you are loved by the Saviour who made you. So Jesus' birth is unique, foretold by prophets, announced by angels, worshipped by shepherds, revealed by a star, visited by wise men. Jesus, born to save his people from their sins. He's given the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Only Jesus could be the Saviour of the world. And nobody was ever perfect like Jesus. And this was recognised by friend and foe. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. But he still crucified him. Pilate's wife said, and he should have listened to his wife, have nothing to do with that innocent man. The centurion at the foot of the cross, who must have seen countless people died and crucified on the cross. When Jesus died, he said, surely this was a righteous man. The thief on the cross said, this man has done nothing wrong. The disciple John, who rubbed shoulders with Jesus for 3 years, one of his closest disciples, he would later write this. There was no sin in him. And similarly, Peter, who walked with Jesus for those 3 years, knew him intimately, in one of his letters would write later on, he was without spot or blemish. And of course, his heavenly Father testifies to his perfectness because he was raised back to life. Jesus was the perfect, acceptable sacrifice for the sin of the world. So only Jesus is the Saviour of the world. And we'll come back a little bit later on to look. Okay, the next two reasons why only Jesus can be the Saviour of the world. No one ever spoke like Jesus. Think of the stories he told, the parables. They were wonderful. Luke 15, my favourite chapter in the Bible. The lost sheep, which we've just watched. The lost coin. The lost son, often referred to as the prodigal son. Charles Dickens, who knew a thing or two about writing stories, said the prodigal son is the best short story ever written. Think about the claims Jesus made. The I ams. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I and the Father are one, he said. That really upset the Pharisees and the scribes because they knew he was making himself equal with God. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That upset them as well. And think about the statements he made. You must be born again. That flummoxed Nicodemus, but he discovered later that it was true. Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to me. And he has been lifted up on the cross, and he is drawing all people to him. We just have to make the choice. Will I accept Jesus? And what about the times he said, your sins are forgiven? That upset the Pharisees and the scribes too, because only God can forgive sins. They didn't realize he was God. And what about his promises? There are so many. My favorite, John 6, verse 37, whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. So we can be confident if we want to come to Jesus and follow him, he promises he won't turn us away. And what about, I'm going to prepare a place for you? Jesus promises us eternal life, and he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven. You'll find that in the start of John chapter 14. And what about his invitations and his proposals? They're all over the place. The weary and the heavy laden, the sick, demon-possessed, the thirsty. I love the whosoevers. We're all a whosoever, so we can all come to Jesus. His invitations and his proposals are all over the place in the Bible. And I've told you before about the story of me and Sue and how we can't remember if I ever proposed to her. And to this day, we still can't remember if I ever proposed to her. But you know, we went on a cruise last year to celebrate our 50th. And I did something right for a change. One evening, when Sue was in her ball gown, we were going off to a ball on the cruise, I proposed again. I'm romantic, really. I got down on one knee, and I said, Sue, will you marry me again? And she said, yes. Well, we haven't actually had another wedding, but we have had a special service back at the church at Earls Hall, where we got married, just to sort of, if you like, renew our vows. And so, yes, I proposed again. Do you know, Jesus is proposing to each one of us now. And there might be some here thinking, you know, I'm not sure if I ever really received Jesus as my saviour. Because, you know, the enemy is called the accuser of the brethren. He likes to make us doubt whether we belong to Jesus. And you might say, did I really? I'm not sure. Well, you can make sure today. Just say, Lord, I'm not sure about, did I receive you into my life? I'd like to make sure today. I want to accept your invitation to come to you. And perhaps you received Jesus a long time ago, but you've messed up, and you've messed up badly. And you're perhaps thinking, can he really still love me? Does he still really want me? The Bible is absolutely emphatic. Yes, he does. And he says, whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. There isn't anybody sitting here that he doesn't long for to come to him. And so today he's proposing to you, he's inviting you, he's knocking at your heart's door. And why don't you just say yes to Jesus? And fourthly, no one ever had power like Jesus. No one ever had power like Jesus. He had power over nature. He walked on water. The winds and the waves obeyed him. He had power over demons. He cast them out. He had power over sickness and disability. He healed the blind and the lame and the lepers and so on. He had power over death. When Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days, he said, Lazarus, come out. And he did, in his grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And perhaps there are some of us here this morning, we need to hear Jesus say, loose him and let him go to serve me and love me. And not to mention the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, the turning of the water into wine and so on. Only Jesus could be the saviour of the world. Okay, our next 2 points. No one ever died like Jesus, and no one ever rose like Jesus. No one ever died like Jesus. It was voluntarily. John 10 and verse 18 says, No one takes it from me, Jesus said. I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus went to the cross voluntarily, willingly, for each one of us. He spoke forgiveness to his executioners, and he speaks forgiveness to us. From the cross, he cared for his mother Mary, entrusted her into the care of his disciple John. On the cross, he spoke salvation to a thief. On the cross, when it should have been light and bright in the middle of the day, it turned to darkness. And then there was an earthquake. And then Jesus shouts, "It is finished," a cry of victory. At that moment, the temple in the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. God the Father did that, which meant the way to God was now open. And because of Jesus' death, we could become a child of God. If we have Jesus, we are a child of our Heavenly Father. Only Jesus could be the Saviour of the world. And no one ever rose like Jesus. In that same verse, John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said, "I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." And after he rose from the dead, he appeared to many. First of all, of course, to Mary Magdalene. But he appeared to as many as 500 at one time, the Bible tells us. When Jesus first appeared to his disciples, doubting Thomas wasn't there. And he said, "Unless I can put my hand into his wounds, I will not believe." He was stubborn. "I will not believe, but God is gracious." And the next time the disciples were there, Thomas was there as well. And he worships Jesus and he says, "My Lord and my God." It's one of the most wonderful statements in the Bible. "My Lord and my God." And he wants to be each one of ours Lord and our God. That's why the disciples were ready to die for him, because they knew without a shadow of doubt that Jesus had risen and was alive. And they saw him go back up into heaven. And so they were prepared to give their all for him, even their lives. And the risen Saviour is still changing lives today. And one day, he's coming back. And he wants to come for you, and he wants to come for me. Only Jesus could be the Saviour of the world. Or last point, actually. No one ever wanted you like Jesus. No one ever wanted you like Jesus. He loves you passionately. He gave his all for you. He wants all of you, your whole heart. You just have to come just as I am, and he will change us. We don't have to be better or try and be better to come to Jesus. We don't have to turn over a new leaf. We just come as we are, because we can't really change ourselves and become the people God wants us to be without Jesus. So we just come as we are, like the old hymn says, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me." So we just come as we are, and he will do the rest. Nobody's so good that they don't need to come to Jesus. And nobody is so bad that Jesus won't accept them. And when we come to Jesus, he promises to change us and transform us. He desires that we love him with all our hearts, because that's how he loved us. He loved us with all his heart and gave his all for each one of us. And he promises us a home in heaven. And what could be better than that? Forever being in the presence of Jesus. And the Bible tells us he chases after us every day. It's that line in Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That word follow can be translated chase. He chases after us with a view to capturing us. Every day, Jesus is chasing after us because he wants to capture us with his love. There's a song which you might hear. It's a modern one. You might hear it on UCB too if you listen. It's Arrested by His Love. He chases after us just like a policeman might chase after a criminal. But Jesus chases after us to arrest us with his love, that we might belong to him forever. Got one story and then I'm finished. If you're here tonight, this morning, Jesus has found you. He's here. He's found you. The question is, do I want to be found? I had a dog once. His name was Scamp. When I was a nipper, and there's something about boys and dogs. Scamp loved me and I love Scamp. I might have told you this before. And at 4 o'clock when school finished, Mum always told me Scamp knew when it's 4 o'clock and he'd be sitting at the front door waiting for me to come in. And when I went through the door, what a welcome I got. He's one of those dogs that hold his backside, went from side to side and he wagged his tail. And he gave me a wonderful welcome. And Scamp loved me and I love Scamp. But come Saturday mornings when it was time to go and play football at Priory Park with my mates, I didn't want Scamp because if he came down while we were playing football, he would spoil our game. He would chase after the ball. He could dribble it with his nose better than we could. And it'd spoil the game. So I would plead with Mum, please don't let Scamp out while we go and play football. Please keep him in. And Mum said, oh, okay. But what would happen is once I'd left, Scamp would be whining at the door, barking. And eventually, Mum would have had enough and she'd let him out. Oh, by the way, you're wondering, let him out? This is back in the late 50s. And dogs just roam the street. And it was considered good luck then if you trod in something. No bins then. You didn't pick things up with a... anybody remember those days? Yeah. And so after a while, Mum would just let him out. And then sure enough, we lived about half a mile from Priory Park. And so he'd be in there, he'd find me in the park and he'd spoil our game. He'd found me, but I didn't want to be found. We're here. Jesus is here tonight. He's found you. Do you want to be found? Do you want to be found? Father, thank you that if we've received you as our Saviour, we can truly say, Jesus, my King, the Saviour of the world and my Saviour. Oh, Lord, if somebody tonight for the first time has proclaimed you as their King, I pray, Lord, they just have the bravery to tell someone as well. And Father, we thank you for this. And as we go out into the world for this coming week, Lord, may we go with confidence, knowing that you are the Saviour of the world and that you are our Saviour. For we ask it in his name. Amen.